Big D Entertainment presents the Dave Holly Hour. Brought to you by Dazzle Shows Presents, The Vaudies, and Dipsy Doodle Productions. He's a variety entertainer, a former broadcaster and columnist, a true lover of arts, entertainment, good food, and fun times, including an occasional Jack Daniels. Okay, so a few Jack Daniels. Here he is, Dave Holly.
Happy weekend eve. It is Thursday. It's also the day after Christmas, so I'm still going to say Merry Christmas. Because if you're like me, Christmas does last 12 days, goes through January 6th. There's still going to be some things you can take in for the holidays. Lots of great things going on in this community. And we hope that you get out and make sure that you take in the arts and entertainment. We've got a great guest lined up that's going to be coming up in just a few minutes. Rollin Wenger is a local author. He's a self-publishing author. In fact, he helps other people do some of their self-publishing. Great conversation. That is on the way. It was actually recorded a few days before Christmas. But, you know, with the way that the holiday fell in the middle of the week, a little different, isn't it? That certainly is, kind of an interesting combination in trying to make sure that you say during those times that, you know, Christmas is already gone and New Year's is coming up. But regardless, we're going to make sure we talk about arts and entertainment with Rollin. And make sure that at the end of the show, we give you kind of a great idea as to what to expect for 2020, where everybody will be seeing clearly. Yeah, I think I actually mentioned that already in episode number one of the Dave Holly Hour. And it's so great to be here on episode 12. We've hit the dirty dozen, people. Thank you so much for your support. I greatly appreciate it. We're going to talk about some of the things that might be coming along because of your support later on. But right now, I do want to say, I hope you all had happy holidays, whatever it might have been. For my friends of the Jewish faith, I hope that your Hanukkah is going well. And for those that are of the Christian faith, I hope you had a very Merry Christmas. A very Merry Christmas. I know I did. It was a very great time. I worked at my regular job, supposed to work until 4. I got off early at 3 o'clock, was happy about that, met my wife downtown. She had worked at one of her jobs until 3 o'clock that day as well. So I met up at the Source, a wonderful place with some great people. And I want to talk a little bit about retailing thoughts as well today on a couple of aspects, okay? But met up for there and had they call it the Hansel and Gretel. It's a fancy hot chocolate. Delicious. And we had some time together then. Before we came home, we got home then probably about 4:30. I had to play Santa Claus at what was originally supposed to be 6:30. Well, we knew we were going to be making chili and that we would eat that after I was finished playing Santa Claus. So we just, when we got home, made, you know, what we call niblets. You know, a little tray of some cheese and some meat and a few crackers. And had the time to just sit back and relax a little bit then. And a little after 5, I started getting ready to play Santa at 6:30. And thinking we would take off just shortly after that time frame. And, or shortly after 6, actually, to get there at 6:30. It's a family that I've been playing Santa Claus for them for a dozen years now. And they are wonderful. And they are so generous, and they're a great family. It is so fun, because trust me, there have been times where I played Santa, and things don't always go so great. This family is just the most polite. They're all good-looking, but more importantly than being good-looking, they're beautiful people. And so that was great, but it got delayed by almost an hour. So then, by the time that we get home, it's 20 after 8 or so on Christmas Eve, and I quickly change and shower, And then we have our chili, and then a friend stopped over and went to church with us for a 10 o'clock service on Christmas Eve. It was wonderful. Greatly enjoyed it. Then came home, got to sleep by midnight, basically. Woke up. We had gone to sleep watching White Christmas, the classic movie. Woke up. And it was playing once again. So we watched that for a little bit. Now, we do not do Christmas presents to each other anymore. We only do stockings. Well, both of our stockings were stuffed greatly. And I have to thank my wife for giving me one of the coolest presents. I know a lot of you have been able to get Shutterfly books and so forth. This was more just a little booklet. It was 11 pages, but you could put as many pictures on one page as you wanted to. And it was all about 2019 and what took place in our family with photos. And it was just absolutely beautiful. And why I especially bring it up on this program is because on the cover, she put one of the promo pictures that I use for the Dave Holly Hour podcast on there, because she is so aware of my feelings and knew that that was such a big thing for me to accomplish this year. So I thank you again for making me want to come in and always get a new episode out there every Thursday. Because remember, if you've been listening since episode one, I kind of gave myself an out for days like this, thinking that, you know, I was going to hope to do it every Thursday, but, you know, if there were holidays, came out with one on Thanksgiving Day. Now today, the day after Christmas, next week there will be one as well, on the day after New Year's, so that we continue to bring you a new episode every Thursday. Anyway, the little booklet was great. Oh my, the memories that you have in just 1 year's time is phenomenal, isn't it? But can't thank her enough for that. All sorts of other little fun stuff too, but that was such a great thing. And then we just had a little late breakfast. Then we went to a movie at 11 o'clock, saw the Tom Hanks movie where it's about Mr. Rogers. It wasn't quite what I expected in terms of the storyline, but I really, really enjoyed that movie. Take it in. It's worth it. And then we came back home for an hour or two, met up with some more friends again at Books and Brews downtown. They've been one of my Dave's faves before, and they continue to be so. They decided that they were going to be open their normal hours on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. So they open at 3 o'clock during the weekday, and we went in there. They have great pizza, and it was to be a karaoke thing all day and all night long. We stayed there for over 5 hours, had a great time, and it's also where this week's honorable mention comes from. I want to thank a family from Tyler, Minnesota. Never got the chance to find out their names, but, you know, all throughout the Christmas week, I was wearing some sort of Santa Claus-ish. You know, we did the crazy sweater type thing, had some t-shirts, and I usually have a nice hat that I wear, even when not playing Santa Claus. That's kind of Christmassy. Well, anyway, during the karaoke then, this family of people from Tyler, Minnesota, the only reason we knew that is because they had all shirts that said Tyler, Minnesota, since whatever. Okay, that apparently was their Christmas gift to each other, that the whole family did. This is a young couple with 5 children. We're guessing all under the age of 12, maybe even all 5 under the age of 10. And they were marvelous parents and just took care of 5 kids so easily. But the youngest one, little boy, saw me and he starts saying Santa. So after that, anytime my name came up in the karaoke rotation, it was no longer Dave was going to be singing, it was Santa. And then we actually did end up singing, oh, two or three Christmas songs. Fun time, but that little boy and that family in general, that was this week's honorable mention. But also honorable mention to Books and Brews for being open on Christmas Day, not to make it a huge, you know, because we think of the big box retailers and so forth. If they're open Christmas Day, it's like, oh my, money hungry and so forth. Well, you know what? This is a local business that decided to be open to provide a service for people to have some fun, to maybe get away after you've spent a little too much time with the family, perhaps. And it was a success for them, and so thankful that Travis and Angela were able to have such a great, successful time there. Now, I remembered a little bit ago, I said something about, and I wanted to talk a little bit about retail, because there, obviously, you know, maybe a Books and Brews, you don't think of as quote-unquote retail because it's not selling, you know, shirts. It's not selling different types of products that, you know, you take home or that you wrap or anything like that. Well, I also want to say thank you to The Source, because when I got to The Source to meet my wife on Christmas Eve then, at 3:30 in the afternoon by the time I got there and parked, that place was busy. They're in the Jones building. Now, here's the thing. They were the only ones in that building that were open yet until 4 o'clock or after. They were busy. And I don't just mean that they were busy ringing things up. They had lots of people there throughout the time that we sat there. And all I could think of was seeing all the gates closed on all those other shops in that area, not staying open till it used to be, at least in retail when I worked it years ago. Christmas Eve was 4 o'clock was kind of it, so that people could get home, get changed, go to a candlelight service at 6 o'clock or something. And all of the people that were there probably would have wandered into those other shops had they been open. So thank you to The Source. And then thank you to Books and Brews for helping us have an enjoyable Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. All right. Up next, Roland Wengert. He is a local author. We talked to him about his works, as well as self-publishing, and what he claims to be an expert in. It's all next on the Dave Holly Hour.
Ladies, when it's time to give your nails some love, get that extra special treatment from Quality Nails on South Minnesota Avenue in Sioux Falls. Manicures and pedicures that look great and make you feel fantastic. Zaya and Tony provide professional care for your hands and feet, whether you just want the basics or an extra special look with added flair. Oh, and guys, it's okay to treat yourself too. Quality Nails. Call for an appointment. 605-334-1463.
He's never met a meal he didn't like. Once again, here's Dave Holly.
Happy day after Christmas. It's a Thursday. It means it's a weekend eve. It means there's going to be lots of things going on, not just because it's the weekend and the Sioux Empire has so many great choices for you, but also because it is still the holiday season. And while we're recording this a few days before Christmas, give us a little leeway if we slip and say Merry Christmas or something. Besides that, if you believe the same way I do, Christmas is 12 days long anyway. So we've got that going for us. And if we don't say that, then we'll wish you a Happy New Year toward the end. But it's great to have you along no matter what. And of course, you know, the other thing is with a podcast, you can be listening anytime, anywhere. You can come back and re-listen and go, oh, that's right. They recorded just a few days before Christmas, but it was actually the day after Christmas that the episode came out. No matter what, thank you, thank you, thank you. And hope that you did have a Merry Christmas and that you're going to have a safe and happy New Year as well, or whatever holiday you may be taking in. We certainly hope that you enjoy it. Well, I have been enjoying doing this show and meeting so many new people. And one of those new people is with me now. And that is Roland Wengert. Roland, it is a pleasure to have you here.
And we've got so many things to talk about with you. Let's just give people a little bit of a taste first. You are a self-published author.
I am. That is correct. I've been doing it for about maybe actually self-published for about 3 years now. I've been writing longer than that, but I decided to go the self-publishing route after a bit of research and just wondering, because I wanted to go traditional at first.
Right.
But you have to take a lot of rejection in that. And then I was looking at reading more and more, and it's like, even if you do get picked up by a literary agent, it's not a guarantee of success, and they'll own some of the rights and get more of the royalties. Obviously, they could probably sell more. And then in turn, you're still going to have to do a lot of the marketing yourself, unless you're in the top 10% of their sellers. Right. So,
and isn't there also probably more of a time crunch as well?
Yes.
When it comes to the actual, hey, we need chapters 3 through 7. We need chapters 8 through 12.
Well, in that case, if I was going traditional, I have works already done that I would show them before I could get picked up, because they're not going to just, unless you're doing nonfiction, they might take you based on your experience and your good proposal before you're finished with the book. But if you're going fiction world, in the literary agent, you have to be done with something, and not like kind of done, like really done, if you want to even get somewhat picked up. And so one, I sent out a few. I probably didn't send out enough. You have to like send out hundreds, I've heard, if you expect to be picked up. And two, I didn't have a specific audience in mind with my novels. I don't really hit a specific genre very well, so that's another harder element to go with into the literary agent world. So I decided.
Right. Whereas, you know, a John Grisham novel is going to be a John Grisham novel. The David Baldacci, they've got, they've got what they write in their styles. Mm-hmm. They very rarely go away from that. Mm-hmm. So you, that gives you freedom then to decide whatever you want to write.
Yes.
Do you also become your own editor then?
Not for the main details, because I'm not good at that. You can't really edit your own words. It's just, maybe there's some people who are talented at it, but I'm not. So I need someone to go through and at least get the fine tooth editing.
Right.
And then I have people beta read and just give their general thoughts. Mm-hmm. And so I'm working on something right now that's kind of going through a refining process. So
Let's talk about the books, and how many have you done so far?
I have 3 novels out and 1 sort of graphic novel. I don't know. It's kind of an experimental work. I've got 3 novels and 1 graphic novel without pictures, but mostly word bubbles. So I was playing around with that, just something experimental. And so, yeah. And they're on Amazon right now.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I self-published through, was KDP, and it makes it really easy for any author to self-publish their stuff. It's free if you want it to be. You don't have to pay anything. Now, there's some things you can pay, and then you just order copies, print on demand, so you don't have to buy 5,000 copies.
Right.
And yeah.
Yeah, because that's the thing that I've always, I've heard often, and I don't know where the original source would be, but that everybody has at least 1 book in them.
That very well could be. I'm not inside very many people's brain, but
you know, and so it's like, okay, but, and then you hear of self-publishing, and then, you know, I've got a friend that has written some books, and I go out and go to his book signings and see boxes and boxes and boxes, and I'm thinking, how are we going to get rid of all of these?
Yes.
And what if you don't? So this is a little bit more palatable for you, shall we say?
Yes. And even still, I think authors, I know I have, when I first get into the self-publishing, I'm like, oh, I'm going to need so many books. So maybe I over-ordered too. So that's a little fact as well. So you just never know how it's going to go in that aspect too. But, you know, I still do decent, but it's like you have these pie in the sky hopes, and you order like a bunch of copies, and then so it takes a longer time to get rid of them than you first think of when you start out in the business. And I slowly windle them away, and then I try not to over-order the next time. But you know, it's still a fun process, and I'm trying to work it out, all the marketing stuff and self-promo stuff, and it's a fun experience, a fun you know.
All right. So first book, what is it?
The first book I wrote was called Caveat Ties. And
which has a very interesting photo on the cover as well.
Yes, it's kind of like a noose that I fashioned into the shape of a tie, put on someone's neck. And I actually did this photo myself and took a long time to get it just right. It's like I have this vision of what I want. And so I just kept taking pictures after pictures after pictures. And then finally, you know, I got a copy that I really liked and just used it as the cover of my photo. And so the book, the gist of the book is it's about a city that's ruled by the mafia, and the mafia keeps the city really beautiful and nice. And all of a sudden a vigilante starts to take on the mafia's operation. So the mystery is, who is this vigilante, and is he good? Is he bad? And it's basically a noir mystery where you're trying to solve who is this vigilante like figure.
What was the impetus for that?
I started with the ending. Actually, I had this like idea for an ending.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, that would be great in a noir mystery setting. And then I thought, oh, I just want a certain number of characters in it. And then I was like, well, how can I keep these characters kind of suspect? So I'm like, well, what if it's kind of told through their kids' perspectives? So they have teenage kids. And so a lot of the novel focuses on everything seen through the eyes of the kids, except for one person. And then you're seeing the story through their eyes, and as possibly their parents might be a suspect. And then as it molded, it kind of became almost an allegory for the Babylon captivity and stuff like that. And it's just, you know, kind of my passion piece, actually. I really like this one a lot, but I can see some people don't like as much for the narrator is kind of ultimately a cynical kind of guy who basically criticizes everybody as he speaks and is not necessarily the most reliable character in the book either. So it's
Did the finished product come out as well as you envisioned it?
I think this one came out better in my eyes, at least from what I really liked from it. I was really surprised what this one did. And it was not about really writing to the specific genre things, but I was doing something that I wanted to write and throwing in my own struggles and fears of how the world and the environment and, you know, corruption and how we deal with that at all, you know, all. And it's mostly questions and not saying, well, this is the way to fix this. It's like, well, what if doing this doesn't necessarily make things better? Is it worth seeking that virtues and whatnot? So
all right, and so let's move on. What was the next book?
The next book is called Soul Shocked, and this is about a teenage boy, a 17-year-old, who can switch bodies with anybody just by thinking about it. So he can like throw his soul into someone else's mm-hmm. soul, and they can just basically switch bodies. And then he sees in the news that someone who looks exactly like him has been murdered. And he's trying to solve why this kid was murdered and what's the deal. Discovers he's not the only one who can switch bodies with anybody. So,
oh,
yes,
that's a plot twist.
Yes.
Do you look for that as you start writing? Do you have that as a concept before you begin a book?
Usually, yes. This one I did too. It's concept. It is a concept focused book for this one because it's like, what would it be like if, you know, someone could switch bodies and there was someone else who had the same powers and you had just a battle? And then, again, there's a little more allegorical stuff in there as the thing goes in deeper. And this one is a little more straightforward in what I'm asking, and which you'd have to get to the end to figure that out. But I don't want to give that away.
No,
but,
we want to sell the book.
Yes, exactly. But... And the idea of just, how did I start this? I started the idea, what if, you know, what would it be like? Because I always like to play on with superpowers. Even in Caveat Ties, the vigilante can disappear and reappear, you know, kind of like, you know, using that. And I always like to have an element of sci-fi in it or, mm-hmm. or fantasy or magic, you know. But I like mostly real world grounded stuff, but kind of like with just a hint of something else. I liken it to like something Christopher Nolan would do. You know, if you look at all his movies, they're mostly grounded in real, mm-hmm. but then they have that one element right. of speculation is what they might call it. It's the best term for it, a speculative element. So, yeah.
All right. So by the same token, then, you know, if this had the concept to it and so forth, do some works just start to take off on their own when you start writing?
Yes. I have tons of works that I'm working on right now that I haven't quite finished. So I'm working on kind of a time loop serial killer thriller right now. I'm working on a dragon middle grade young adult novel right now. I'm working on a Western based on a old open domain rights thing. So I'm working on a lot of things at once. And even with this, I was working with these two books kind of at the same time, Soul mm-hmm. Shocked and Caveat Ties. And I was working on some other books that I had, including the one I'm working on now. I started before I started these two, but I was like, I don't like where this is at. I just need to rework it. And so Caveat Ties was the first book that just flowed, and I was pleased with by the time the end of it came. And, you know, I also got another kind of team up superhero book that I was working on earlier. So I've wrote a lot of stuff, but I wasn't happy enough with it yet to put it out.
Understand.
And I know Ernest Hemingway said something that most of what he writes is crap. Except for he used a different word, and right. And that's just an interesting.
Well, are we in many ways all our own worst critic?
Yes, exactly.
In that way, and we want it to be perfect, mm-hmm. and so we really have to go. Okay, am I proud enough of mm-hmm. this mm-hmm. to put it out and so forth?
Yeah.
All right, so let's move on. Book number three.
This is called Zaida, Mozart's Lost Opera.
Which is a whole nother topic we're going to cover yet with you. So
exactly.
Go ahead into the book first.
But this is based on a Mozart opera that he never finished. He wrote it during a dark, very dark point in his life. Basically, his tour to find a job throughout Europe and, you know, went all the way to Paris where his mother died. And then he came back and he thought he met the love of his life and she rejected him. And just everything just crashed, and then he was stuck back in Salzburg in a job he hated with an employer he hated, and he began this opera without a commission, which you don't do very often. There's only a couple works he did without commission, and he began this opera just as a passion project but never finished it. And so the only reason we had it is because his wife kept a copy, and I was drawn to the opera because of a very beautiful aria. It's called Ruhe Sanft. And I don't know if I'm totally pronouncing it right.
But, I was just saying, you know, you're. Thank you for giving us the pronunciation guide on that.
Yes. It's such a beautiful aria. It's like, I think it's the most beautiful aria ever. And I was like, well, where did this come from? And then I researched. It's like, oh, this was kind of hidden away during his whole life and not performed till years after his death. It's like, if his wife hadn't kept a copy, it would have been, you know.
So how much research went into this book, since it was a historical figure, mm-hmm. versus the first two novels he wrote?
Well, a lot more, but I was kind of passionate about Mozart at the time anyway, so I got this big, a couple of books I read by him, and this big, very exhaustive one by Maynard Solomon is his name, and I read through that. Probably one of the biggest books I've read. That's, yeah. And I read through that and did a lot of research online. I couldn't find an English translation of Zaida online, so I had to take the German translations and work out through myself, because the way I wanted to do it is each chapter is dedicated to a piece from the opera. Mm-hmm. And so I wanted to translate it, try to get the best translation possible. And so using Google Translate at first, and then that's not the best way. But then I happened to have access to a German foreign exchange student who could kind of help me with a little bit more too. But she was like, oh, this is old German. But
so then it had to be.
But she knew enough too. And mm-hmm. again, I wanted to get the gist of the feelings of what the words right. were. And so I could also do research on the arias too. And I would watch some different versions on YouTube of different performances.
A bit of time consumption in that one, though.
Yes, but mostly curiosity. I wasn't doing anything better anyways.
Okay. Well, before we come back to Mozart, let's go over to Headhopper then.
Okay. Headhopper is my attempt at a graphic novel, and which we can't all see thought, through the microphone.
Right, but thought bubbles.
It's all thought bubbles, and it's about six or seven individuals who are trapped in a warehouse. They can't speak to each other. And I wanted it to create a mood of chaos and confusion as somebody reads it, like what it would be like if you're actually listening to a bunch of people thinking all at the same time, you know, the kind of chaos of mm-hmm. that element. And so, as you can see with the thought bubbles, they're kind of like all in a circle and upside down, and you have to turn everything around, and it's supposed to be kind of confused, and you don't know who's speaking, so you have to read it to piece together whose thought bubbles. It's kind of almost like a puzzle.
Okay.
And so
us as a reader doesn't know who's speaking.
Yes.
Did you?
Oh, yes. Sort of. When I wrote it, I had the idea, so I put like clue figures out, because it's six and then one extra, and so I put them around a circle, so because they're still the thought bubbles are where the person is in relation to the other person. So like one's beside the other. So there is that. So I put the circle, the people in the clue as the circle, because I wanted to just keep track of it myself, because that was pretty hard to do. But and ultimately there's a mystery to it, but I don't want to delve too much into that for exactly what's going on. And I don't spell it out. So, but it's a puzzle.
And a fun thing, too.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. All right. So all of these are available at Amazon.
Yes. And now, then my novels are at Full Circle Book Co-op, too. So
yes, that's right. Locally. So mm-hmm. we can go there and yes. pick those up. Fun place, by the way. Which mm-hmm. and God bless them. They also sell beer. Mm-hmm. Yes. But today we happen to be recording next to a Wood Grain Brewery in downtown Sioux Falls, 9th and Phillips. And I'm enjoying I believe it's Rosie Red. Or Roxy Red, and what did you choose then?
A sugar.
Okay,
yeah. It sounded interesting.
They're good.
I tried different things. Yeah, it's very good.
That is another great thing about a podcast mm-hmm. versus the days when I used to be in radio. Wouldn't have been able to have a beer while I was on the air.
Mm-hmm.
So we can have a beer and enjoy a great conversation talking about arts and entertainment. Local author Roland Wengert is joining us today, and so we've gone through the four initial books and talked a little bit about self-publishing, but how do you get into it? I mean, where do you start, and how do you know what tools you're going to need, what software, things along that line?
Well, to start, obviously, you have to have a finished manuscript, mm-hmm. which that, to me, is the hardest part. I kind of have fun formatting, and I also have been formatting for other authors as well, so I'm getting better at it and more efficient, and I enjoy that part. But yeah, first you have a finished novel, then you decide which self-publishing company you want to go with, if you're going to go the self-publishing route. Obviously, if you're going to traditional and want to submit to literary agents,
be prepared to get a lot of letters.
Yes, be prepared mm-hmm. to get a lot of letters. And and so before, that was like the only real route if you wanted to make any success. It's like, but it's so much open now to self-publishing. Like Andy Weir, I think it was, he wrote The Martian, self-published, and that sold millions and became a movie.
Mm-hmm.
And so it doesn't have the stigma it used to be. Now, there's still an advantage to having a publisher and a literary agent. So I'm not going to say, because it's easy to be like, don't need those anymore. There's a huge advantage to it still. And it's still what I wanted to do. And one of the books I'm working with, I just don't know if I have the courage enough to self-publish because of what's in it, and would rather go through a literary agent. But, you know, and I think it would fit in a category as well, too. That's another thing, because literary agents aren't necessarily out to just pick what they personally think is good, but what will sell. Now, they still want good stuff.
Right.
But, you know, there's certain matrix. But anyway, so back to the self-publishing. Self-publishing, you start with which format you want to use. There's a lot of options out there. There's Kindle Direct Publishing, which used to be CreateSpace, but now CreateSpace, that's what I started with. But Amazon just took that into Kindle Direct Publishing. That's what I go with through. There's the few advantages there. It's Amazon's company, and that's still the largest bookseller in the world, is Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
It's so if you're an author, you want to be on Amazon, regardless of which company you go through. And the other companies will put you on Amazon. So
okay.
you don't have to go through Kindle to get on Amazon. But one of the advantages of Kindle Direct Publishing is they will give you a free ISBN number. And that's kind of like your book's identification mm-hmm. marker. And so that's why I decided to go through them, just because I didn't want to pay for an ISBN number. And some people say you don't even have to have one, or you can buy them in bulk. But if you buy one ISBN number, it's like $125. You can write a lot of books. You can get like maybe a bulk deal of like, I can't remember what it is, but five for like 200 and something dollars mm-hmm. and 10 for, you know. But I don't know how many books I'm going to write and what I'm going to do. Now, there is the disadvantage that people talk about. If you use Amazon's ISBN number, you can only print that ISBN number through Amazon.
Okay.
And so there is that disadvantage, because that number is tied to Amazon. It says Amazon is your publisher instead of you. Where if you, and so there's advantages and disadvantages. But right now I'm poor, so I need to
go the route that works.
I need to go the route that, you know, right now. And so, but I have helped another author buy his own ISBN number, so I'm familiar with the process. But anyways, then that's Amazon, and then there's Ingram Spark, which is another company that's more of I think I'm not as familiar with them because I didn't do anything with them, but they can get your book anywhere. I think they're a little more expensive, but they can do a lot of services for you, I think, better. And then there's Lulu again. It's kind of like Amazon. It is, that one is free too. But they don't provide an ISBN number. And then Barnes & Noble even has self-publishing now.
Mm-hmm.
So you can self-publish through the Barnes & Noble site. And there's a lot of different places.
Yeah.
And Smashwords is for ebooks, and, you know, a lot of different options.
So it gives you the opportunity mm-hmm. at least to have the options. But also, you know, I guess kind of a word of warning, just take a look at the pros and cons of each.
Yes. Yes. And then there's like independent publishers, and then there's a lot of scam publishers too, if you're going like, and that's the whole thing.
Is there a business that scammers are not involved in?
Yes.
Yeah, true.
And so I think the word of advice is, if someone says they're a publisher and they're asking you to pay for you to publish their book, it's there's one thing to do. If they say they're a publisher and they ask you to pay, that's a little more of a red flag. Now, if they say they're a publishing service, or, you know, and they're willing to do the work, because there's some things you can't do yourself, like editing. Some people can't do their interior, can't do their covers. And so that's reasonable and understandable to hire that out. In fact, a lot of people should hire that out. And I did all that formatting stuff myself because I enjoy it. But I've taught some classes too with the South Dakota Education, or Sioux Falls Community Education, okay. about self-publishing. Some of this stuff is just over their head when it comes to interior formatting and cover design, and it was over my head, but I've been practicing it too and getting good at, or yeah. getting better at doing it.
So this has also been a learning process.
Yes,
for
exactly,
you.
Exactly. And I know some stuff even that I want to change with my earlier books for formatting as well, and I can still do it. Whereas, you know, Zaida, I pretty much got what I wanted out of the design. And I'm working on another book too, where I'm loving the interior.
Okay. So speaking of your next books, you mm-hmm. told us earlier some of the different genres that you're working on. Mm-hmm. Which one, and do we have a working title that you think is going to be the next one you publish?
Yeah, this one I'm working on right now is going to fit an audience better. It's more of a young adult, but a younger adult. I focus mostly on boys. I actually have an audience's mind as I write this, of 13 to 15 age. And it's a modern dragon fantasy book. And the title is Doomsday Relic.
Okay. So, we look forward to that.
Yes, it's getting close. Okay. I'm going to actually have some 13 to 15 year olds read it, see what they think right now. So I had to tweak some stuff up from a bunch of different people who read it from me and said things I needed to fix. It wasn't as like, you know, it wasn't quite where I wanted it to be, but yeah.
Okay. Well, we'll look forward to it. In the meantime, we met a month or so back at a great event that the South Dakota Arts Council put on along with the Levitt. It was just a great little get together, you know, kind of a happy hour to meet other artists and entertainers. And that's how we met. And I guess we started a friendship because of that. And there are so many others that I met that day that are going to be future guests here as well. But let's talk just a little bit about supporting other people in the arts and entertainment world in this community and how important that is. Because obviously, you know, you've published, it's available on Amazon, but it's also available here at the Book Co-op. So get out there, buy these things. Now, what do you find in other works of other writers around town that you like?
Yeah, I got a lot of different people I met through South Dakota Writes that have written a bunch of different things, and it is met some great friendships. And that's a tough thing is too, is like you have so many different people, and I bought their books. I know there's like Doug White who comes into my mind right now too. He's wrote a couple books. I read his first book. It was just a fun, quick read. It's for younger audiences, and yeah, there's a big community, and at a Full Circle Book Co-op, they have a shelf dedicated to the local authors, and even there's some that have written that are in New York Times bestseller, and so yeah, it's they're all at the store. I'm just trying to remember what her name. She goes by Marta Eros on the books, but yeah, and so yeah, I met a lot of different people, and they've been very, very helpful. And
And then the other little tie-in is the fact that I host trivia at the Sky Lounge and Tea a couple of times a month, and
which I live just a couple blocks from. Yeah,
so I found that out this last weekend as I was hosting trivia, and in you walk and played along, and then. We were talking about some of the upcoming trivia themes that are going to be taking place. And you said, well, if you only did one on Mozart, I could win that one.
Yes.
So how did you get to, because you even told me, I'm going to quote you, I'm a Mozart expert.
I would say that is very true.
Okay.
I actually had a blog even devoted to Mozart's works called Tone Deaf Troglodyte Tries Mozart, where I was going through each of his pieces and just commenting on them. I did meet a conductor who, I met a conductor in Ohio at the Cincinnati, in a Cincinnati opera house, who I made a friendship with, and he's on the back of Zaida. Has a quote from him on my book, Zaida, but I met him through my blog. He found my blog and said, oh, I can tell that you're neither tone deaf nor a troglodyte. But anyway, so I would just kind of, I would go through his pieces, and then I've read a lot of his books, and it's just a very fascinating. I got into it mainly actually through writing, because I wanted background music that didn't have lyrics, and I had this baby Mozart CD that we got for our first son, and I was listening to it, and I was like, I know that piece, and then there's one piece I didn't know, but it was Violin Concerto Number 5, the third movement. It was a new piece to me, but it was so powerful and so brilliant. It was like, I need to know more about this Mozart guy. And so just slowly.
Well, this is interesting, because typically if somebody says they're an expert on a particular person or something like that, it usually goes back a little bit further, not when you've become a father.
Yes. Yes, exactly. And so, I mean, I've always liked classical music. Even at my wedding, I wanted a particular Bach piece played for, you know, there. But I've never been like an expert at it. But then as I delve into Mozart's life and his thing, it's like, gosh, I'm kind of like Mozart in a goofy, zany kind of way too. Cause
so what did you find most interesting as you started to research and become an expert about it?
The most interesting is his big failure and his life after it. After his big failure, trying to find a job in Europe, which, I mean, I can relate. Finding the job thing is always a thing.
And sucky part of life. Yes,
exactly. And then stuck in Salzburg where he didn't want to be, and he began this. But I found it interesting because his employer, his name is Archbishop Colorado. And throughout history, he gets a rap at being the evil guy who let Mozart go from his grasp. But I have a theory, and I wrote it on the blog, that I think he was purposely trying to get Mozart to get away from him, to get away from his overbearing, horrible father. And I kind of outline that as well, because uh-huh. there's so many things that didn't make sense about the way Colorado handled the situation, because everybody thought, oh, Colorado was a very politically calculating guy, right? And he knew if he would just fire Mozart, his populace would be like, well, we hate you now. Mm-hmm. You can't re-get. So he needed to push Mozart away, as opposed to, that's a theory. And I've actually found scholars who actually might agree with me. So that was interesting before.
Give me a little but, backing on that.
Yes, exactly. Now, just because they say it doesn't mean it's true, but it's just kind of nice to have that validation.
Right, exactly.
And so Mozart pushed, or Colorado pushed Mozart away, I think, just the actions as I see him looking historically. The first thing is just sending him out on the tour alone, because at the same time, everybody wants to hate Colorado, but Mozart's father, with the old archbishop, was touring Europe looking for a job while his employer paid him to tour Europe. If I was an employer, I would not be too happy with that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of Colorado's sin. And he's like, and then at one time, Colorado's like, you can't travel no more. And Leopold was like, oh, well, God requires people to use his talents. You should let us tour while you pay for it. And Colorado was like, okay, well, you have my permission to go. I'm not going to pay for it. And then Leopold was like, well, I guess we'll stay here. and so then he sent out Mozart by himself, but Leopold didn't trust Mozart to go by himself because he didn't want him to fall in love and get a woman, because he wanted Mozart to be able to support the whole family. So he sent his mother with him on the tour, and on the tour, his mother died. And so, all kinds of crazy stuff happened there. And then Archbishop Colorado took Mozart back when he came back to Salzburg. And then he was like, oh, I got to. And then what Colorado had to do was to try to figure out, well, how can I get this? Because this is a good relationship. So he sent him to Mannheim to write Idomia, an opera. And so Idomia was his first real good success as an opera. And so in their books, Solomon and another guy said, well, he took him straight to Vienna because Colorado thought he could control Mozart. But I disagree, because if Colorado wanted to control Mozart, he would have kept him with his father. So Mozart takes him straight from, Colorado has Mozart go straight from Mannheim to Vienna, right? Just not stopping back in Salzburg, which that would be like if I did a good play in Broadway and my boss said, go to Hollywood now. Don't go back home. That's how big Vienna was. And then, where he was out of his father's control, he like let Mozart get all starstruck by Vienna. And then Colorado acted like a super jerk. Like even historians say he was just, because I think he wanted Mozart to quit. And because Mozart did end up quitting, like say, I'm not going to deal with this. And so, but Salzburg then in turn rejected Mozart, not Colorado. So it's a little bit of political maneuvering.
Gee, it doesn't seem to have ever stopped, does it?
Yes.
All right. Mm-hmm. One final thing to touch on then, because you have a blog.
Yes.
Go ahead and tell people where they can find some of your thoughts on different things.
Mm-hmm. My current blog that I'm mostly working on right now is my personal author blog, and it is at RolandDWingert@blogspot.com. Just type in my name too, or you could check out my Facebook. If you type in @RolandWingert, there's my personal page, and then there's my author page. Go to the author page, or I'm on Instagram @CaveatTies, no spaces, or Twitter @CaveatTies, no spaces. And you can find all my information and all my all links right. to stuff.
So I'm sitting there looking through some of it,
mm-hmm.
and some of my magical words pop out that I can see quickly. Indiana Jones,
yes.
Raiders of the Lost Ark. And then you spelled it instead of with a K, but with a C, and you put pun intended.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Indiana Jones and Raiders of the Lost Ark.
But so you're a good Indiana Jones fan.
I do love Indiana Jones.
I do
as
too.
A kid. Not my favorite movie is probably Amadeus for natural reasons, but
right.
as a kid growing up and still today, I'm very fond of the Indiana Jones movies. And yes, in that blog, I was personally talking about how people complain that, well, Indiana Jones, if he would have done nothing, everything would have still
been right.
But that's not what the movie is about. It's about Indiana Jones's arc. Not what happened in the end, but what did he learn through the journey? And sometimes in a life, we want to be so focused on the results, like did our actions actually make a difference? But more important is, what did our actions do to us personally? So
yeah, I loved it. I loved the reading. And then, you know, when we were talking about it before we started to record this interview, just going through the four shows of mm-hmm. Indiana Jones and, you know, it's always tough to beat the original and a classic.
Mm-hmm.
For me, when you bring in Sean Connery and make him Henry Jones Sr.,
mm-hmm.
That was just a great show. Plus, you know, the beginning of that show showing how he ends up with the fedora and how he ends up with the scar in his chin and so mm-hmm. forth.
Which he really has that scar.
That's
they
true.
Just added to
yeah.
the plot.
yeah.
See, I'm a pretty good Indiana Jones expert too. I've watched all the commentaries as uh-huh. I watched through them as well. So,
yeah, and I just I love how that one goes. So what is your favorite then?
Oh, it's hard to tell anymore now that I'm an adult. I think Raiders of the Lost Ark probably in its purity is now my favorite. But growing up as a kid, Temple of Doom was actually my
you
favorite.
Like so, short round.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Exactly. Who didn't love that character?
Yes, yes. But it was actually the first Indiana Jones movie I saw, too. I remember being so creeped out at first, and then...
Yeah, there's some dark stuff in
yes,
that one.
But then also at the end, so excited. It was just a great roller coaster of emotions that I remember feeling as a kid from
right.
that movie. I just still remember it to the day, and I'd like to get that feeling back in some other good...
Yeah.
Closest thing that I probably got that back feeling was the recent movie Arrival, if you've seen that.
I have not seen that yet.
That is very good. Very
okay.
good.
Okay, I will put that on the list. Mm-hmm. Plenty of things when not too far away now. Mm-hmm. First of the year in 2020. Any big goals, or are you a resolution person? I do goals, not resolutions.
Yeah, I kind of loosely say some stuff, but mm-hmm. I'm not good at keeping them. So if you, but I'm gonna try to. I want to try to read all the books that I have in my personal library and actually get them finished. Which I've been pretty bad about reading lately,
right.
and get through that, and then finish this book I'm working on now and get it published, so I can get something else ready.
Well, we wish you luck in that, and then in the meantime, when you're not working on your passion, what other types of hobbies do you have?
Right now, I'm pretty consumed with three boys and work and
being a parent.
Like, I take my boys to 605 Ninja. We do... we take them to school. We, you know, and we have a foreign exchange student right now too. So we usually take in a foreign exchange student in our house. So
wow.
Just busy, busy in general.
That you are.
Mm-hmm.
Well, as long as it keeps you, in a constructive way, that's good.
Yeah. Well, sometimes I just need to be more constructive and a little less destructive.
Well, maybe that's a goal for both of us throughout
yes.
2020. Rollin, appreciate it. Thank you so much for your time. Best wishes. And again, people can find you locally by going to the book co-op,
yes.
Full Circle Book Co-op. And also you can find Rollins. It works online
mm-hmm.
at Amazon.
Yes. And it's spelled R-O-L-L-A-N Wingert, W-E-N-G-E-R-T.
Fantastic. Appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks again. More of the Dave Holly Hour to come in just a moment. Dr. Perry Langston and Dr. Corey Tooney provide the very best chiropractic care to Sioux Falls. At XO Chiropractic, the focus is to improve your overall health in spirit, body, mind, and will, relieving your pain and helping you in your wellness goals. Discover how to get results the natural way. 605-332-9235 or xlchiros.com. That's EXCELCHIROS.com. XL Chiropractic, excellent care for excellent people.
From the Dipsy Doodle Studios at the world headquarters of Big D Entertainment, a 40-square-foot home studio in the middle of America, it's Dave Holly.
Thank you again for listening, everyone. Certainly do appreciate it, and it has been a fun start. 12 episodes now in the books here on the Dave Holly Hour podcast, and 2020 is up next. And I don't mean the program, the TV program. It's not following this. Nope. I'm talking about the year. At least, you know, one of the things with a new year that we probably don't have to worry about as much as we used to is learning how to write the date 2020 on checks, because we write so very few checks anymore. But it still means a time for a new start, renewing things, setting some goals. Maybe you actually do set resolutions. I do not. Learned a long time ago, that just doesn't work. Plus, it usually is something that is over with very quickly. Whereas if you set a goal for the year, it could happen late in the year. And you might still feel good about that. Such was the case for me this year. In 2019, my goal was to start a podcast. It didn't happen when I thought it was going to. Originally, it was set for April. That's when I thought it was going to happen. Winter hurt me bad, financially because of an old vehicle, and also mentally because of the financial problems. It stressed me out quite a bit, got me a little depressed. But I didn't stop thinking about that goal. I didn't stop wanting to accomplish this program. And finally, on October 10th, we did. And we continue to do so. I say we. It's my show. I'm typically the one speaking, yeah. But think of the people that I've interviewed over the 12 episodes. Amazing. Great talent. So many things in the arts and entertainment. And we have more to talk about coming up next year. Speaking of, I will be setting more goals. One is to start another podcast. A very short one, very abbreviated one. I've talked about it previously. It's going to be called More M.O.R. M.O.R. was an old radio format. There might even still be a station or two around the nation that kind of is that format. But there was some great music that was played on that. We'll talk all about it. It's going to be on a different place that you'll be able to pick it up. One of the reasons we haven't had music on here is because of copyright laws. But the place that we'll be playing that podcast, it will be allowed based on if it's in the Spotify library or the Apple library. So if it's in those, we'll play those old songs. And I'm looking forward to that. I'm also looking forward to providing all of you some fun things. Maybe some contests coming up. Maybe some Chotsky, swag, merch. Yeah, there's a lot headed our way in 2020. And again, I say we and I say our because it's people like you that are listening that help me out. It's the people that agree to be interviewed and talk about arts and entertainment. And it's my wonderful crew that I have, the Pupper Pals, that help make me strong and caring about this program and always wanting to talk about arts and entertainment in the Sioux Empire and keep providing you wonderful people to talk to about it. And don't forget, there are so many other things that are coming up. Just to find the calendars that you use in the meantime. But that's one of the goals for 2020. The website is online, DaveHollyHour.com. But I do not have what I want there on the calendar yet. I have a test, you know, kind of beta thing, a couple of items from time to time.
just to find out how to make sure I get them on properly and how to get them off in a timely manner, things along that line. But that is one big goal for 2020 that I can tell you about already, is I really want to make that website shine, give you some other opportunities, give you some fun things to be thinking about, and providing that additional podcast. So that's what's coming up next year. But as for tonight, again, this is a Thursday, the day after Christmas that this comes out. Remember I told you about that great idea we had, our friends, that each of us was buying all of the others something for Christmas in terms of a ticket to see a show of some sort throughout the holiday season? Tuesdays with Maury, Sioux Empire Community Theater, we're headed to that tonight. Tomorrow night, not sure where we're ending up yet, because tomorrow night is my wife's birthday. I won't tell you how old she is, but the hint would be something about a deck of cards. All right. Hopefully you figured that one out. If not, you should play more cards. And then on Saturday night, we're going to our wine bar to hear Marin and Spencer. Looking very much forward to hearing the music that they will be playing there. And I might even go away from Jack Daniels for a night and have a glass of wine. Who knows? But I do know this. It's been a pleasure being with you again. Happy holidays. Happy New Year coming up next. And then we'll get into the 2020 thing with vim and vigor. My name's Dave Holly, and for me, every day is a holiday. We'll talk to you next Thursday.
The Dave Holly Hour has been brought to you by Dazzle Shows Presents, The Vaudies, and Dipsy Doodle Productions, and is produced by Big D Entertainment.